Chapter 2. Bish, what's next? David Ski Chaika asked while we were in my office aboard Valkyrie, still in orbit above the Kristang planet Tomaran. The Legion's job there was effectively over, but they still had a lot of work left to conduct an orderly withdrawal and take all their gear back to orbit. The Mavericks were staying there to wrap up the transition. They would leave when the Ruhar fleet jumped away. Next, I'm going to finish this beer. I held up the bottle of Lester Cornhut's Paradise Pale Ale and took a sip. Ah, that is good beer. I hope so, Dave laughed. That brewery is kind of my retirement plan. I mean, it's good, I assured him. Not just good for a beer brewed by hamsters, I would drink this on Earth. He looked at the ceiling. I wonder. Maybe I could bring a couple cases to Earth. People might like a taste of paradise. Taste of paradise? Jesse Cornpone Coulter laughed. That's your slogan right there. When I said we were in my office, I meant just the three of us. Our old fire team from Nigeria, back together again. Sergeant Greg Koch wasn't there, but he wasn't a sergeant anymore. He had left the service and had a substantial farm in Lemuria, the southern continent of paradise. One item he grew was hops, which Dave purchased for the brewery, so they had kept in touch over the years. Damn, it was good to see those guys again. Even after all the shit we had been through, even though we had been through different shit separately, when we got back together, it was like nothing had changed. I was not Colonel Bishop, I was just Joe, or Bish, the nickname I had since high school. What I said about Dave's beer was true, it was good. He could easily sell a couple cases, or a couple shipping containers of that beer on Earth, if only for the novelty value of drinking a brew from another planet. Are we going to Earth? Jesse asked, looking over his beer with a question in his eyes. A question for me. We are, I answered, then added, the ship is. I am. What about us? Dave asked. Hey, Ski. Jesse nudged him. We still got a mission here to wrap up. We can't abandon the whole Legion to run home. Yeah, but then, relax, guys. I gestured with the beer in my hand. General Ross is working a transfer control here. The Legion will be pulling out in 6 days and a wake-up. That includes you. Perkins is planning to ride that ship of yours back to Paradise. The sure thing is not our ship, Jesse corrected me. We just charter it. It goes where you want. Jesse snorted. It goes where Em wants. Half the time I don't know where the hell she's taking us. Hey, she doesn't tell me either. Dave had one side of his mouth curled up in a grin and the other half turned down in a frown. You go back to Paradise with the Legion, and then, I shrugged. We'll meet you there. Valkyrie will probably arrive before you. We have a couple things to do first. Dave stared at me like I hadn't answered the question, because I hadn't. Bish, can we go to Earth? If you want to, sure. Want? Why would we not want to go home after all these years? Ski, Jesse patted his friend's shoulder. There's a difference between visiting home and staying there. Your brewery is on Paradise, don't forget that. What's the use of brewing beer on Paradise? Dave shook his head. If the whole force bugs out for Earth. We don't know that, I said. Jesse's right, think about it. Most people will want to go back to Earth and not just to visit. But not everyone. People on Paradise have made lives there, started businesses, started families. It's their home now. Dave wasn't convinced. Bish, you haven't been there for a long time. Haven't lived there, no matter how much sneaking around you did. He waggled an accusing finger at me, but he did it with a grin. Jesse and me, Derek too. We're lucky. Most guys on Paradise will be on the first ship out because there just aren't enough women, you know? I can understand that. Man, I sure could understand how guys on Paradise felt about the lack of available women. Living aboard a starship wasn't much better. Probably most of the force on Paradise will want to go home, but I'm pretty sure UNEF will want to rotate battalions onto Paradise to maintain a forward deployed presence out there. Perkins and Ross both told me they intend to keep the Alien Legion active. That decision will be made on Earth, but I can't imagine UNEF not wanting to be a player in this war. We need allies out here. The Legion is a good platform to start with. Platform? Jesse grinned. Listen to you with the big fancy words and all. The army gave me a big stack of documents. I held my thumb and index finger far apart. To study for officer training. You wouldn't believe the buzzwords I had to read. Buzzwords go back to boot camp, Joe, Dave reminded me. Yeah, but there are new ones since the Force left Earth. I'm supposed to memorize and use all of them. Dave got a serious expression on his face while I was talking. What? I asked. We're going back to Earth, he said. He didn't appear to be happy about that. You don't have to go if you don't. No. I want to go. I need to show Em what good pizza is. Part of his grin returned. But I just realized. He looked at Jesse. I need to write a letter to Schmuckatelli's family. Jesse shrugged. Why do you have to write it? Lieutenant Gao was his CO. Technically, yeah, but Gao died when our dodo got smashed aboard the Big Mac. I was with Schmuckatelli when he died. He hit the aero shell after Nert blew the tail cone off. Guys, I asked. Who is Schmuckatelli? I thought they were joking. Lance Corporal Marco Santinelli, Dave explained. He was assigned to our dodo for the landing on Squid World. He looked at me and I nodded. I had told them we followed the actions by the Mavericks by reading their reports. When the Big Mac got cut in half, we had to ride down in a cargo shell. He shook his head. Santinelli didn't make it. Good guy? Dave snorted. I hate to speak ill of the dead, but he earned the Schmuckatelli name. Jesse agreed. First time he used powered armor, he tried to be Iron Man. That guy is the reason we have safety briefings. You know the type, Bish. He slapped his left shoulder. Had a 0311 tattoo on one shoulder and a Punisher skull on the other. He was right. I did know a lot of guys like that. At least he was infantry. Dave laughed. He was infantry when he signed up for the Legion. Back when he shipped out for Paradise, he was a logistics weenie. Probably the Marines put him there to limit the damage he could do. Ah, he waved a hand. I shouldn't say anything bad about him. Maybe he would have been a stand-up guy once he got boots on the ground, but he never got the chance. A lot of people didn't get the chance on that op. Good people. Sorry we weren't there for you. I did feel guilty about that. If we had known ahead of time, maybe Skippy could have gotten better intel about the defenses around Squid World and passed that info to the Ruhar somehow. You couldn't. We understand, Jesse assured me. Hey, you guys were busy out here. That's the truth, I agreed. Bish, Jesse asked, rattling his empty bottle and setting it on the desk. What's the deal here? You control these elder weapons you found? You control them? What he did not say aloud, because it was there in his eyes, was, we know you and you are a doofus. I couldn't argue with that. For now, yes. I don't know what else to do. The more people who have access to those weapons, the more likely it is that some jackass will use them, even by accident. Dave looked at Jesse before asking, yeah, but you really want that responsibility? In his eyes was an unspoken, we have seen you try to put your pants on backwards. No, I shrugged. The question is, should we trust a bunch of monkeys to handle them? The conversation had gotten into military matters, high-level military matters, and that was making things awkward for the three of us. They were in the dress uniforms they had been wearing for the flight up to meet the Max Hulks, though with their jackets and ties off, and Dave had his company logo instead of a U.S. Army patch on the front. I was wearing a standard Army service uniform with the bright silver eagles of a colonel. Our difference in rank created a distance between us. It had to. And I hated that. Sorry, guys, I'm so used to Skippy calling us monkeys, I've started to think that way. Is it your call? Jesse's eyes darted away from mine when he asked the question. The president controls nukes. Why would these elder things be any different? Which president? I tapped the UNEF patch on my sleeve. Jesse was surprised by my question. You're still in the U.S. Army. He pointed to the American flag that was also on my sleeve. I am, I agreed, then added, It's complicated. You know I already committed mutiny and stole a starship. The Flying Dutchman is a strategic asset, and technically it is controlled by UNEF Command. Look, guys, can we talk about something else? This mutual assured destruction thing is all new to me. I'm working it out in my head. There will be plenty of talk about who controls those weapons when I get back to Earth. Pwn. Dave drained his beer and set the bottle on my desk. We gotta beat feet. The dropship leaves in 30. Bish. He stood up. He shook his head. Unreal. We thought you were dead, he said, for possibly the 100th time since he came aboard. I still can't believe it myself. Humans have been out there the whole time, kicking ass. Jesse shook his head slowly. Unbelievable. The Mavericks have been kicking ass too, I reminded them. Yeah, but... Jesse thumped my shoulder. Mostly we've been trying to keep the Lizard Civil War going. You started it. Perkins and I had talked about the Kristang Civil War, whether knowing it had been started by humans would bring the clans together in outrage against a common enemy. Then we both had a good laugh about that. The only thing the warrior caste enjoys more than fighting aliens is fighting each other. Sure, they would be pissed about humans interfering in their God-given right to kill each other, but they already had plenty of other reasons to hate us. Knowing that we sparked their latest civil war without the lizards even knowing we were players would give them reason to fear us. And that could only be a good thing. I walked with them to the dock and bay where their dodo was waiting for the return trip to the surface. I had a meeting with General Ross, then with the Kristang Fleet Commander, then with a Giraptha from their Ethics and Compliance Office. Perkins had flown over to meet with Admiral Lokash of the Ruhar Third Fleet. One item on the agenda would be returning our unwilling guest, Cluster Robinon, to her people. Robinon's attitude had changed dramatically for the better since we left Earth. She knew we were bringing her home, and with the knowledge she had from her time with us, she would become a minor celebrity for a while. Before she boarded one of our stolen Maxulk's dropships for the flight over to Admiral Lokash, Robinon shook my hand and said she understood why we had kidnapped her. I am told you humans have a saying, all is well that ends well? Something like that, yes, I agreed. She smiled. This ended well. It hasn't ended yet, I cautioned her. You know what I mean. She straightened and gave me a Ruhar-style salute. Colonel, good luck to you, the merry band of pirates, and all of your people. Snapping a U.S. military salute back to her, I said, Best of luck to you and your people too, Cluster. I hope we meet again someday under better circumstances. Bishop, General Ross glowered at me. You are not making me happy. Sir, I asked, getting tense the way I automatically did when a high-ranking officer is frowning at me. Ross was in my office aboard Valkyrie on a sort of meet-and-greet courtesy call. The UNEF part of the Legion force on Tomoran was under Ross's command, which meant all the humans down there were his responsibility. Instead of a reply, he just sighed, pulled out his phone, tapped the screen, and held it up for me. See that? It's my ID. It was a digital version of a U.S. Army Universal Identification and Access card, the standard that replaced the old CAC card before I joined the military. I had a UIA card in a drawer somewhere, though I had not used it for years. His card showed his photo, name, and a chip contained personnel details, biometrics, authorizations, everything he might need to access Army facilities or computer systems. Yes, sir. Department of Defense is still using a new version of those cards on Earth. You see my rank on there? What does it say? 08, I read the rank identifier. Major General, sir. That makes me a general officer, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Then why, he stuffed the phone back in a pocket, am I constantly being kept in the dark by people who are junior in rank? First Perkins, now you. I don't know what to say, sir, I answered honestly. I don't blame you, Bishop. You had your orders, I understand you couldn't reveal your existence to anyone on Paradise without compromising the safety of Earth. My complaint is more directed to Perkins. That made me grin. I've only read the mission reports you and Perkins filed, but I can understand your frustration. His frown eased a bit. Bishop, you have no idea how frustrating it is to work with her. Ah, he waved a hand. I'm sure you're tired already of answering the same questions over and over, so I'll stick to the high points. What's next? For Valkyrie, we have a few errands to run, then we're going to Paradise. From there to Earth. In the meantime, you're leaving me here to clean up the mess. Sorry about that. If you want my advice, sir, go ahead. This isn't our fight anymore. Leave it to the lizards to sort it out. Pull our people off the surface. Let the Kristang Fleet Commander handle it. Admiral Kakrondo? I hear you're meeting with him next. We are, sir, I corrected him. If you have the time. I would appreciate you being there, or it could get awkward. Perkins and the Mavericks did the grunt work on the ground, but I am responsible for shooting his fleet out of orbit over Paradise. Ah, yeah. I can see how that could be awkward. All right, Bishop, I'll do it. One thing I can tell you is Kakrondo is one of the good guys. It was my turn to cock my head at him. Sir? He's a lizard. He hates this war even more than we do. He's an old warrior, Bishop. The kind who reaches a certain point, looks back at all the fighting he did, and sees how pointless it all was. Kakrondo and Perkins have some sort of secret understanding. He grimaced sourly. I don't know what the hell those two have cooked up together, but Perkins wouldn't be working with him unless he furthers her own goals. Whatever those are. Yes, sir. Can I ask you a question? Shoot. What's next for you? Valkyrie will be going to Earth after we stop at Paradise. Do you want to ride along with us? Go home? Home, he said wistfully. Where is home, if I may ask? I already knew the answer. Asking was a way to get him to think about it. California, South Dakota, Minnesota, and all over the world. Home is where the heart is, Bishop. He sat up straighter and leaned forward. Do you have news of my family? They're all well. Your daughter Patricia had a baby. You have a new grandson. Patty had a baby, he whispered. Oh, hell, I've missed too much. We all have. Think about it. Valkyrie will wait at Paradise until the Legion returns. Bishop, this is a tempting offer. But a lot of people on Paradise want to go home. My rank shouldn't make a difference there. Plus, the Legion? Our job is not done out here. We're making a difference in this war. That's what Perkins told me you would say. She agrees with you, sir. Let us know when you reach Paradise. Someone from UNF HQ needs to brief Earth about what is going on out here from the Legion's perspective. It should be you, not some staff officer who never left Paradise. All right, Colonel, I'll think about it. Then he snapped his fingers. If we're meeting with Kakrondo next, I need to get something from my bag. What's that, sir? A bottle of Shays. It's something the lizards drink. Smells like a cocktail of paint thinner and battery acid, but they love it. We'll consider it a goodwill gesture. After Ross and I met with Kakrondo, the Giraptha came aboard for discussions. A Captain Scorandum of the Ethics and Compliance Office left with our unexpected guest, Cadet Fangio. The cadet was hugely disappointed that he had not gotten the opportunity to visit Earth, so I gave him an unofficial rain check for a later visit. Scorandum seemed like he had more questions for the cadet than he had for me, so I was confident Fangio would get over his disappointment soon. We had a lot to do and a short time to do it, so I had to cut discussions short and get moving. The Ruhar and Giraptha were sending ships out to carry the news far and wide. I still planned to arrive at Paradise before everyone there heard that humans were now major players. My promise to Ross was that Valkyrie would remain at Tomoran until the majority of Legion forces were off the planet, which would take a couple days. Then we had some errands to run before setting course for Paradise, but we could create wormhole shortcuts, and neither the hamsters nor beetles could match that capability. One major bonus of stopping at Tomoran was being able to requisition supplies from the Legion. By requisition, I do not mean we used the threat of our big guns to get what we needed. I wouldn't do that, and we didn't need to. General Ross was very happy to give us the key to the candy store and let us take anything we wanted, which was food. Food, glorious food. I could sing that line because in elementary school we had done the musical version of the play Oliver. Okay, no, I had not played the title character, but the song Food, Glorious Food was sung by a large part of the cast. Okay, no, I was not one of the people singing that tune, or singing at all. My role was to build the sets and act as a stagehand, but believe me, I heard that freaking song 100 times in rehearsal. Anyway, when we reached Tomoran, the pantry was pretty much empty aboard Valkyrie. The last night for dinner, I had cheese on shredded wheat breakfast cereal. I figured that if I sprinkled coarse salt on shredded wheat, it was basically a Triscuit, and everybody likes cheese and crackers, right? How desperate did I have to get before eating dry, tasteless shredded wheat? It was better than drinking another damn sludge. I was really getting sick of those. Sims worked her magic, and we received 3 dropships full of food, compliments of General Ross. Real food grown by humans on Paradise, plus food created by the Ruhar in their laboratories. We had chocolates. Some of it tasted a little strange, and we had to get used to it. Also, steaks. The people from Paradise called them fatakes because they were fake meat, but damn, they taste great. The best part to me was getting lab-grown ground beef for cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers. Excuse me for a minute, I'm verklempt. I kind of get emotional when I think about cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers! Okay, I'm back. It made no difference to me that the ground beef was grown in a factory. It tasted delicious. As a treat for the crew, I made Oklahoma onion burgers, and it was all you can eat. FYI, all I can eat is 4 cheeseburgers. The key to eating 4 cheeseburgers is keeping the burger-to-bun ratio on the burger side so you're not filling up on bread. I know that is important info, so I made sure to mention it. After a feast that first night, we settled into a normal routine, keeping in mind that we soon might have many more mouths to feed aboard the ship. Lieutenant Colonel Sims, Skippy announced after a soft chime sounded in her cabin. You asked to be alerted when the Star Team EVA exercise is completed. All personnel are back inside the ship now. I am restoring authority to the radiators and point defense systems. The heat sinks will need to be drained. We will be ready for jump in 31 minutes. Sims looked up from the book she was reading and picked up a teacup to take a sip. She was reading a book, an actual book, because she wanted to, not reading another status report because she had to. How long had it been since she felt she could actually relax? Too long. Skippy, when I'm in my quarters, you can call me Sims, or, she hesitated before deciding, what the hell. You can even call me Jennifer if you like. If you're thinking this is a trap, I was making an Admiral Ackbar reference in my head, to be honest. This is me reaching out to you, Skippy. She snapped the book closed and put it in a drawer so it wouldn't become a projectile if the ship were in combat. The teacup she could bring to the galley on her way to the bridge. She could not help rolling her eyes. How could such an amazingly intelligent AI be so clueless about certain things? The correct response would be thank you, possibly even thank you, Jennifer. Okay. Can I ask why you are, reaching out to me? I thought you were pissed at me. More than usual, I mean. I'm not happy with you for what you did at Rikers. Do you understand that I came very close to self-destructing this ship?
I suspected that. I mean, closer than you stated in your report.
You're right. Before the Dutchman jumped in, I considered whether it was my responsibility to end the suffering of my crew. We were cold, and it was becoming difficult to breathe, and there wasn't any hope of the situation getting any better. May I ask why you didn't trigger the nuke?
Because. She drained the teacup and took a breath, not wanting to think about that dark time.
Just because I didn't see any hope did not mean there wasn't any. I do hate you for making me go through that.
I am terribly sorry. I wish there was a way for me to express just how much I hate myself for what happened.
You don't need to say it, Skippy. You need to show it by your actions.
I am trying. Please help me understand. You are more upset with me than usual, but now you are reaching out to me. Why? You have always been much less tolerant of my nonsense than Joe is. Bishop doesn't have a choice, does he? Well, no, actually. Fortunately, I think he enjoys my nonsense most of the time anyway. You certainly do keep things from getting dull around here. I know you are busy, but I'm reaching out to you. I guess partly because I'm happy. For the first time in a long time, I'm happy. Earth no longer has the threat of extinction hanging over our heads. I am married to a great guy. For the first time since Columbus Day, I am looking forward to the future. We now have a future. A big part of that is because of you. Well, thank you. Another reason is that you did screw up big time. You weren't just your usual absent-minded self, you were nasty to us. He said slowly. And that is somehow a good thing? Wow. I thought understanding how Joe thinks is a mystery. He does. You know who screws up, Skippy? People do. Machines do not make bad choices. You did. Bishop once said that you must be sentient, because only a sentient being can be an asshole. Maybe I'm missing something here? The short version is you seem more like a person to me, Skippy. Before, I always suspected that part of you was only emulating a personality. The mistake you made at Rikers and your reaction to it are things that only people do. Wow. I never thought of it that way. Did you learn from the experience? You have no idea. You have no idea because you have never done anything so rotten in your life. The key is to learn from your mistakes and don't repeat them. Right. The goal is to always make new mistakes, right? That's not... Maybe I should have said that the goal is not to make any mistakes at all. Yes, but if you do, if I do, unfortunately, I can guarantee that I will make plenty of mistakes in the future. I can also guarantee that none of my future mistakes will be caused by treating my friends like dirt. That's good to hear. I need to go now. You can leave the teacup. I'll have a bot bring it to the galley. Thank you, Skippy. Thank you, Jennifer. He choked up a bit. It is good to hear that you are happy. You and Frank deserve happiness. That is a nice thing to say. He sure got the better part of that deal, Skippy muttered, because he simply did not know when to shut up. Skippy, she snapped, annoyed. Sorry. That reminds me. Frank said that before you made that Mr. Darcy outfit for him, you wanted him to wear a shark skin suit to our wedding? Actually, that was my second choice. First, I tried to get him to okay an alligator skin suit. Don't worry. He told me you would hate it, so we... I would not have hated it, she laughed. Really? Really. Any guy can wear a tux or get dressed up like a silly movie character. An alligator skin suit? Now that would be something to remember. Really? Wow. I did not think, Skippy, we got married aboard a starship. It's not like tradition is super important to me, you know? What I cared about is that I was marrying Frank and that my friends were there with me. I wish the Dutchman crew had been there. I regret we didn't make the decision earlier. Cool. Hey, I am sorry about the awful job Joe did as DJ. I did offer to step in, but he said I should let him have fun. I do greatly regret that you didn't sing at the wedding, she lied, to avoid him moping about it for days. Really? Cool. Hey, can I sing at your next wedding? She paused in the doorway. I'm not planning on having another wedding, Skippy. Oh, sure, you're not planning on it, but let's face it. Frank is a great guy, but he's a guy. He is bound to screw up sometime. And goodbye, Skippy. I'm just saying, you know. Goodbye. Good morning, Gunnery Sergeant Adams, Skippy said cheerily from the speaker in the ceiling of Margaret's cabin, just after she slapped the wake-up alarm off. It is a balmy 72 degrees inside the ship with no chance of rain. The galley is making fresh hot biscuits for breakfast. 9 people have signed up for your exercise class in the gym at 0900, and I do not need a reminder. She avoided looking up as she flung aside the sheet and walked toward the bathroom. But That information is available on my phone. I was just trying to help. He could not have sounded more miserable. You are still trying to act as if nothing happened at Rikers. Margaret, AI, you will address me as Gunnery Sergeant Adams or Adams?
AI?
My name is Skip. Skip. That's what you did. You skipped out on us. You left us to die. You... She bit her thumb, salty tears stinging her eyes. You left Bishop to die.
Joe said he forgives me.
He has to say that. He is your best friend, your only real friend, and you abandoned him. If you do something like that to Joe, how can any of us ever trust you again? He sighed, a deep, weary sigh.
Is there anything I can do so we can be friends again?
Apparently, we were never friends. Do your job, AI. You don't need to talk to me, so don't. But, goodbye.
Good morning, Joe, Skippy said in a way that meant he clearly was not having a good morning and wanted me to ask him about it. What's wrong, buddy? Since Skippy had not woken me up at 00:30 the previous night to talk about anything stupid, I was feeling charitable to him. Also, if I did not ask him what was wrong and pretend to be sympathetic about whatever his stupid problem was, he would mope about it all day, maybe several days. Plus, for some reason, probably related to me being an idiot, I actually cared about him and his stupid problems.
It's Margaret. She is never letting me off the hook about this, is she?
Not if you take that attitude, she isn't.
What attitude?
This isn't about you, Skippy.
I do not actually see the difference. I am trying to...
You are trying to make yourself feel good about a really shitty thing you did. If Adams forgives you, then you can forgive yourself, right?
Yes. It's my understanding that's how these things work. Why is that a bad...
You're thinking only about yourself. That's why it's a bad thing. Have you thought about what she needs? What she wants?
Ugh. I am never getting over this, am I?
None of us are getting over it, Skippy. She isn't the only pirate who is pissed at you.
That's true. None of the crew are really talking to me. They all hate me.
They are all hurt and disappointed by you, Skippy. You are not who they thought you were. That is never going to change.
It hasn't changed for me.
But you said you understood what happened. Why I did it. You forgave me.
I did. I meant it. Still, anytime we get into a real serious situation, a little voice in the back of my head will be asking whether we can count on you or whether you will find another reason to bail on us.
That is a rotten thing to say, Joe.
No, it is the truth. It would be rotten if I didn't tell you that.
Joe, please tell me what to do. I will do anything.
You can let Sims dress up your can in cute little outfits again.
Anything but that.
You can stop hogging the microphone on karaoke night.
Not that either.
Listen, Skippy, I understand what you're going through.
Joe, that is just something people say when...
No, I really do understand. The entire crew is pissed at me, too. I concealed the truth. Lied to them. Worse, I lied because I didn't trust them to handle the truth. Sims is frosty with me. You must have noticed that.
I have. What are you doing to make her forgive you?
I'm not doing anything about it. That's the point. It's not about me. She is hurt, and she is right to be hurt by what I did. What I am doing is not repeating my mistakes. No more secrets. I am involving her in every decision, telling her about my concerns, asking for her advice. Same with Smythe. The way I am letting them know how sorry I am is by not ever again doing what hurt them. You know what?
What?
It feels good, Skippy. Not keeping secrets. Being able to talk with people I respect and trust. Talk about stuff that is bothering me.
Okay. I'll have to think about that. What can I do, Joe? Please, tell me what to do.
First, never bail on us again. Second, if you want Margaret to be your friend, then you be the best friend to her that you can be.
How can I be her friend if she won't even talk to...
Do things for her, not for you.
She doesn't want to talk to you? Respect her wishes. Don't talk to her.
This is hard, Joe. If earning her friendship was easy, would it matter so much?
No.
You monkeys have hundreds of thousands of years of instincts about how to deal with interpersonal relations programmed into your brains. You know this stuff. This is all new to me.
I will help you any way I can. It's tough for me, too. I would like to be friends again with Margaret, but she barely speaks to me. The worst part, I told myself, was that she wouldn't tell me what was wrong. My guess was she was embarrassed about certain quite intimate things she said to me back when nanomachines were messing with her head.
"What are you doing about that?" he asked.
"Nothing. The best thing I can do for her is to give her the space she wants. I'm doing that because I care about her."
"Gotcha."
The next morning, Margaret tapped her phone to turn off the alarm, swung her feet on the floor, and stretched her arms over her head. The speaker in the ceiling crackled softly, something Skippy did so his morning greeting did not startle anyone. She felt a flare of anger, bracing for an argument.
Hey, Bilby drawled. "Good morning to you, and all that stuff. The star exercise at 0930 has been moved to Portside Docking Bay Charlie 2. We had to perform unscheduled maintenance overnight on Bay Bravo 1, so it's not available."
"Wow, those exercises you do, like, would make me really tired. I don't know how you..."
"Bilby, why are you talking to me?"
"Oh, like, you want me to do a puppet show instead? I've got some socks that could..."
She rolled her eyes. Talking with the ship's new AI could be a chore.
"What I meant is, why are you talking to me? Usually Skippy..."
"He asked me to take over."
I did not want to talk with Skippy, she told herself. So why am I disappointed? That's simple. Because me refusing to talk made that sneaky little shit miserable. Now, if I want to yell at him, I will have to contact him. That is not going to happen.
"Skippy doesn't want to do it anymore?" she asked, pretending to be casual about it.
"No, like, he told me it is really fun. It is kind of cool. He thinks the crew would rather have me talk to them, you know?"
"Yes."
She stood up and automatically began making the bed in proper Marine Corps fashion.
"I do know. Please continue."
"Cool. Breakfast this morning is..."